We're back with another episode.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed during the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent any specific employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform. This podcast series does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services.
It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off. It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off.
You don't come here for the facts. You come here for the entertainment, okay?
That's if you're here for the facts, you're the wrong
place. Wrong podcast. We are here to entertain you. That's why we give a disclaimer at the beginning of our podcast.
Boom, baby.
We're here to educate and inform with entertainment.
Yeah.
That is it.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Face Off with Fleming.
Yep.
With Fleming and Fowler. We are back.
You heard the lady.
Again, y'all. We've been gone for 2 weeks. We do apologize. Alyssa is now back from location with working with the CIA. So we are super excited to have her back in the studio. All of our episodes will be back in the studio now and not virtual.
I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you.
We're baby. Back in the stew, baby. We're
back in the stew. We're stewing.
We're stewing like a hot pot of greens.
Crock pot, baby. Pot luck.
How's your week been this past week?
It's good now that I'm back.
Now that you're back in San Antonio.
It's Fiesta, or it was Fiesta last weekend. That was the last week of it.
Yeah.
I have eaten so much since I've been back. It's just been like Mexican food. More Mexican
another
food.
Another club.
Chicken on a stick. So I have to stop that. We had a little party, like a little food party.
Yeah.
Because I'm back in the land of the seasoned. But it's good. I'm happy to be here. I don't know what the hell this weather is. It's been humid as shit.
It really has been. I just want to be cold again. I really do.
I know. I'm sick but of the heat. It's good. Can't complain. Went to the Fiesta Parade. Didn't go to Nyosa because I was too hungover.
I can't believe you went to that parade.
You've never been to the parade, right?
No, I don't go to Fiesta. I went to Fiesta on accident when I first moved here.
Accident?
Because I was moving and I was trying to find an apartment, and then I was trying to look at, what are the things that are being, that are happening, da da da. And I came here during Fiesta, literally that Friday of the parade of, what is it?
Battle of the Flowers.
Battle of the Flowers. And so I ended up going downtown because I saw this restaurant that was like, ooh, this barbecue restaurant, let me go here and get some sides. Girl, I went out there and saw them goddamn people. I was like, fuck no.
Fiesta is huge.
It's too much.
San Antonio's Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite holidays. It's just a good time, but it's exhausting. There are so many people. It's getting kind of real expensive.
Yeah. It's expensive to be outside, period.
It is so expensive
to
be an adult person right now.
Because you know what? You're trying to heal your inner child.
Yeah.
And you have adult money. And so you're like, I can justify going to Chick-fil-A today because I just want to.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah.
The other day we went out. I was in Houston. We got some pizza late night. And I saw this chocolate cake sitting there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want that chocolate cake. Because you know what my mom would have told me?
No.
You don't need that. Eat your pizza and go.
I can eat whatever I want to.
This little boy looked at me and said, are you sure it's $8? I said, put it in the bag.
Did I blink, bitch?
Did I fucking ask how much? I said, put that cake
in the bag.
And I was even like, is it worth it? He was like, it's pretty good. I don't know if I'd pay $8 for it. And I was like, you see this card right here? It don't decline. Because I just got paid.
Right.
But yeah, it's that big girl money.
Yeah. I do the same thing. I went to PF Chang's yesterday just to get a little takeout order.
We love the Chang.
I love Chang. And all I get is fried rice. I don't get shit else. But
what else can you eat?
I can eat spring rolls.
Really good
spring rolls.
They don't have like impossible lettuce wraps.
Ew, that's gross.
You don't like lettuce wraps?
I mean, I like lettuce wraps.
Not the impossible meat.
I like the vegetable lettuce wraps though.
Oof.
Somebody actually the other day was like, oh yeah, the cafeteria has sushi because I, what ended up happening?
I'm
left my lunch at home.
No.
No, I don't eat sushi though. I like tempura, which
I'm
is
not
real
eating
sushi.
Fucking cafeteria sushi.
Well, it's that little deli stuff that they sell like at HEB and whatnot in the little
that
packages.
That does not sit right with my soul.
Yeah, no. I like hot, like tempura.
Like fried sushi.
Yeah. But like, it's just tempura, veggies.
So you know, so not sushi at all.
No, it's just fried
You like
tempura.
Fried vegetables.
Exactly. Nice. Tempura style. That's all.
Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. I went to get my booty rubbed on, so I thought. Let me just tell y'all something. When you have a relationship or like a DeLulu relationship with your massage therapist.
One-sided relationship.
It's a one-sided relationship. It's definitely a situationship. But I just feel like there's a certain level of comfortability that you have and a certain way that this young man should know what I'm expecting. And mm-hmm. I was just very disappointed. Like, I know, you know, as a clinician, we have off days. There are days we don't really feel like being at work. There are days that we don't feel like doing anything. And I went and got my monthly massage as I normally do. And I just felt like he gave me no love. He didn't rub on my booty.
And you've been waiting for it all month long.
All month long I have been waiting. He's just like, yeah, we're going to start off on your side.
Which is a weird space to start off for a massage.
I'm fat. That means all the fat going to go to one side. Sir, I can't do that.
Maybe he was trying to open you up on one side.
I wanted you to open up them cheeks. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. That's not what I want him to do.
Body rocking, knocking the boots.
But I just felt like he didn't give me no kind of love. And I was like, are you rushing? Like, I just felt like...
Just kind of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. Damn. I was just like, I need you to take your time with my body. Like, I get a 90-minute massage for a reason. Exactly. I purposefully get 90-minute massages. I don't get 60-minute massages. I need to do 90 so I can have, it's technically actually 80 minutes, but because, you know, they give you 10 minutes to undress and dress and blah, blah, blah. But
which is stupid.
It's so dumb. I'm just like,
I'm stripping and let's go. Start the clock.
Listen, I barely got drawers on when I come here. I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm having a onesie and some drawers.
Matter of fact, I oiled myself up.
Thank you.
I'm going to slide right onto that bed.
Well, no, I actually, like, take a fresh bath and then I'm ashy as fuck. Because you're going to lube me up anyway.
It's true.
So then I get a free lotion for my whole body. It's amazing.
That's true. I had a crick in my neck for the last week and a half. I fell asleep with a claw clip in my hair.
Why would you do that?
That it was the dumbest. I've done a lot of stupid shit.
Jesus.
This is easily top three dumb things I've ever done. So I have had this crick in my neck for a week and a half. I went to make a massage with a guy that I've gone to in San Antonio forever.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything until the middle of May.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, see, I get standing appointments.
Smart.
Yeah.
So now I'm waiting. I think I got one on May 7th. I called and they had something open. But so I'll be walking around like the bent neck lady for the next week and a half.
Yeah, no, I have mine like clockwork. I can't miss, because when I do miss my massages, like, my body can tell and it hurts. Like, yeah. I end up throwing something out, which is why I need my massage therapist to do an amazing job. And he gave me no love last week. I was just so disappointed.
Well, you know, everyone has an off day.
That's true, but
you just caught him on his.
Yeah, but I need him to have an off day with everybody else, not with me.
Yeah.
I've been going here for like, what, 2-3 years now? Damn. I just don't need you to have off
days.
That
is a consistent relationship.
That's what I'm saying.
You should have just been like, stop. Let's have a talk.
What's going on?
Yeah.
How can I help? How can I help you to help me?
Yeah, I want you to do the best job you possibly can.
Exactly.
Damn.
Also, too, this past week has been very tiring. I've had a lot of demented patients who cannot follow commands in either Spanish or English. And I'm just like, I don't
know. Those are the two languages we know.
I barely know Spanish because now I don't have Quinta there to translate.
True.
So I don't hear Spanish as much. So I'm like, come on, man. I mean, I had to almost call a code green on one of my patients. And
green is what?
Green is basically like security? like a security issue. And I'm just like, dude. And he wasn't being like, he was just super confused and I couldn't get him back from the bathroom, which I should have taken him to the bathroom in the first place. That was my bad. But.
And you know what the worst part is? I don't know when you realize it, but I always realize it halfway through what we're doing. Yeah. I'm like, this was dumb. Oh, this was stupid.
I knew it was a horrible idea when he got to the edge of the bed because the nurse was just like, he hasn't pooped. And I'm quite sure he probably really wants to get on the toilet. I'm like, did he tell you that? He's confused. He doesn't know what he wants to do.
Or you need him to have a bowel movement.
Thank
and you don't want to have to clean it up.
Exactly. So he got to the bathroom perfectly fine. I had one of the CNAs with me who was translating in Spanish. And so he just kept repeating the same word in Spanish over and over and over again. I can't remember. It sounds like callate, but it's not callate because that means like be quiet or whatever, or shut up or something like that. But he was saying something else, but it was, I guess it's like the Spanish word for like look or like because he kept pointing at certain things and I was like, what? And then we tried to get him off the toilet and I legit had to like manhandle him, but he was stronger than me. So he technically manhandled me. And then it took four of us to get him back from the bed. From the bathroom to his bed. And I was like, never again. Never a fuck again, dude.
No, dude. It's not worth it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a trip in the rehab corner real quick. Who needs to go in the rehab corner? Who are we throwing in the rehab corner this week?
Listen, I don't need to throw a patient in necessarily. I need to throw some people I work with into the rehab corner.
Oh, Lord.
Couple things. Everyone just do, I need you to just do your job. Pull your weight, see the people.
And move on.
Stop trying to do X, Y, and Z that's not your job just to make yourself seem busy. Stop pretending like you're doing more work than you are. That's pissing me off. And then stop talking to me like I'm doing too much and that I'm doing the wrong thing just so you can make yourself seem like you know what's going on. You know what the hell's going on.
True.
Also, I don't want to come off rude or callous or insensitive, and I don't have children, so I might not have the complete bandwidth to speak about this, but I don't want to hear about your fucking kids at work. If I don't know you personally, if we don't hang out outside of work, if I don't come to you and ask you, hey, how's
Billy doing?
Exactly. Also, if your child's over the age of 11, I really don't care because they're not cute to me at all.
Yeah.
And I just, these people, they like, I get when your kids are your life.
Yeah.
I just also have this, like, I talk about it with my friends all the time, and I'm like, I really want to make this conscious effort to be a person who is a mom, not a mom who has a little bit of a life. Do you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like, I would love to try. I know that's really hard, and like, it's...
You're just a woman with kids.
This is me being a single 30-year-old person being like, I'm gonna... But I would love to maintain my sense of individuality and just also have this life with my children.
Well, you ain't gonna have it if you're a single parent.
That's true. So let's not do that. But I'm just saying, these people, and I get it, your kids are your life, but I'm like, can we literally, I need 5 minutes for you to bring up anything besides
adult
what
life.
You're, yes, I cannot do this with you. Also, because your kids don't sound that fun. If you have a good story, I love a good story. Paint me a picture. If they're doing some ratchet, wild shit, if you have, you know?
Yeah. Don't ever show me a drawing of your child. Like, oh, my child drew this. It's ugly.
It's not good.
It's ugly. I don't care.
Unless you're making a joke about it, I don't want to hear it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think people talk about their kids all the time, even though they don't. I think it's subconscious for them. They don't realize that they're talking about them all the time, but they are.
Because surely that's your whole, that's all you're thinking about.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But when you see the light leave my eyes in the middle of our conversation, I need you to kind of pick up that cue.
They don't care. You'll be just like, huh, that's crazy. And they still keep talking.
I know.
Or I'm not even making eye contact with you and you're still talking.
And then I'm sitting there thinking like, is my mom talking about me like this? That's so annoying. I hope she's not telling anybody shit about me.
I doubt it.
I hope
you
not.
You have a podcast now. So she's probably not. If you want to hear about my daughter, listen to her podcast.
Yeah, she's like, here's a link. She'll tell you all you need to know.
Exactly.
Who are you throwing in the rehab corner?
I am throwing corporate America in the rehab corner today. Oh. Because I feel like, you know, we thought we got away from group projects as like, you know, college students and just, you know, high school students or whatever. Mm-hmm. But corporate America is nothing but a giant group project, where, especially in healthcare, especially in PT and OT or in rehab. We unfortunately have to work together in order to make this system run. And I fucking hate it because people are idiots. So I had this week, we had a conversation. We had many conversations this week at my job about counterproductive topics, and I won't be too specific because if anybody from my job is listening to this, this is all jokes.
No, you're not.
You didn't hear any of this. Anyway, this is all for entertainment. So we were just having these conversations, and this one person came in to give us answers to said questions that were not answers. Number one,
the anti-answer answer.
Yeah, and then number two, I just need every supervisor out there to just be quiet. Mm-hmm. Shut the fuck up. Like, allow people as grown adults to try to resolve something. And if we can't resolve it, taking people's autonomy away is not the answer.
Unless you're in the trenches with me daily to the point where I'm like, we are doing the same things. Do not come with
that's what I'm saying. And I'm just like, it's always the same stupid ass people, one or two people at work that are always rocking the fucking boat and ruining it for everybody else. And then instead of just getting rid of these dumbass motherfuckers, y'all just keep them on the team and like, oh, we'll just make it generalized. No, stop generalizing.
Stop
shit.
Pulling me into meetings, being like, we need to talk about this very actually specific thing that we all know one or two people did, but now it's broad. You're not doing anybody any favors. You're just pissing off the people who are actually doing the things they
need
to be
doing.
Thank you.
It's so annoying.
Oh my God. I cannot stand that.
This is why I hate corporate America. So I am throwing corporate America in the rehab corner this week. So.
Yeah. Because also, guess what? Unless you approach me specifically, I'm going to think it has nothing to do with me.
Seriously.
Because these meetings happen all the time where I'm like, I'm not doing that. I know I'm not doing
that. And that's why I say it's counterproductive. And that's why the same shit keeps happening over and over and over again, because you're not addressing the actual person. You think people are going to have self-insight, and they don't.
I won't. I refuse.
They're not self-aware. And you keep just saying, come on, guys, let's just be team players. You're talking to people who are not team players, and they don't know that they are not team players. And then you keep saying it to everybody else as opposed to being directed. Well, I don't like confrontation. I don't like to be, you know, conflict. Well, then you shouldn't be a leader. You fucking bastards.
Also, it's not conflict telling someone to do the job they're paid to do.
Thank you.
Lord.
And to be fair and share. Like,
be fair and share. All right. That's all we're asking here.
I hate people. I'll tell you what's not fair. You ready to get on into the show?
Let's dive in.
I'll tell you what's not fair. Death.
I've heard that.
I don't know that we talked about this, but your homeboy died the other week.
Don't you dare.
What?
OJ Simpson?
Yeah. Who are you talking about?
Is my homeboy?
Yeah.
Why is he my homeboy?
Because he's not black. He's OJ.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I do agree with that sentiment.
You're not black. You're just Alyssa.
That's what I don't see color.
You're a racist.
Inherently racist.
Jesus.
What I do love, I don't love that he died.
No, please don't love that he died.
What I love about that, what I do love is like, we've all just decided to pull all our facts and figures about the trial up again. And I just love hearing people talk about that trial because I think it was such an insane period of time.
Yeah.
I wish I could have.
Where were you when the trial happened? You were not even born. Were you not?
No, I might have been.
What year did the trial happen?
Hey, Siri. What year did Nicole Brown Simpson die? 94. Oh, I was a fresh month old. I wasn't even a month. I was like 3 weeks old.
Well, I remember that trial and I was a kid. I remember like watching it on TV and then because the Rodney King stuff had just happened.
Crazy.
And so it was like, they better let this black man off. The glove didn't fit. You must have quit, damn it. And when he got off, it was like, it was almost like when Obama won the president.
They're like, score one for the culture.
There were so many black people that was just like, yes, thank you, Jesus. He's off. But it was like,
yeah,
he didn't even like to be one of us. So,
which is so, it's just so crazy to think that like political climate, cultural climate, society mm-hmm. can shape what you would think would be such a cut and dry.
Yeah.
Whatever. The quote justice system, mm-hmm. right, that we know is so fucked up. But then again, he paid out the ass for some really good fucking lawyers.
Well, yeah, he had no choice but to.
Yeah, and the prosecutors did not do. So it's like, yeah, no shit.
It was a perfect storm, happen. Honestly.
Yeah, it's crazy just to think. Because I'm mm-hmm. sure the prosecution was like, how could they not send him? Like, this is crazy.
The glove didn't fit.
Yeah, but just like everything that was going on in society, mm-hmm. the lawyers that he had that all died of cancer.
They really did.
Karma isn't real.
He ended up dying of cancer as well, too.
Yep.
Well, even the high-speed chase. I remember watching the high-speed chase on TV, and I was just like, this Bronco is just going down the road, and he ended up at his mama's house. I was like, what the hell, dude? So it was quite interesting. But yeah, O.J. Simpson died. Of course, y'all know we late because we haven't recorded. But anyway, he died at 76 years old. Apparently, allegedly, he made all his family sign an NDA and that they cannot do any kind of like tell all books about him as a part of that NDA, which I think is very smart.
Which isn't he still paying it would go to the family, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know what he has, like if you can challenge his trust or whatever he, mm-hmm. you know, trust he has shit. Or whatever. I think he does.
You think he does?
Absolutely. OJ's not an idiot. He was not an idiot. I mean, he was an idiot, but he wasn't an idiot with his money.
He was an idiot.
Right. I think he put a lot of his stuff in his trust. Because also, you got to remember, he was already a millionaire when he retired. And at that time, he was a multimillionaire.
Do we think the son did it?
Yes, I do. The oldest son.
I also do really believe that.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
I'm still convinced. But you know what?
And you know what? My mom said she wouldn't bury a body for me. She wouldn't cover for me. And then I see OJ and I'm like, wow. A parent that loves their child.
I would let his ass go right to jail. I'd be like, he's crazy. He's crazy. I can't believe he did it. Oh, Lord. I can't believe he did it. Because he would have got off. But, I mean, OJ seemed to have lived a very good life other than when he stole his own paraphernalia bag and went to jail. So,
technically,
you know, they got some justice for Nicole's death to a degree because he was gone for, what, 8 years or something like that. But then Caitlyn Jenner, I was like, dude, always just shut the fuck up and go somewhere talking about good riddance. Bitch, you killed somebody. Isn't that the plot calling the kettle a motherfucking sponge? You killed a whole person with your vehicle and you got the nerve to say good riddance to this person?
Some people, much like OJ, stay off of social media.
Caitlyn Jenner, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
Speaking of shut the fuck up, we got to talk about some rap beef that's been going on. That's been making people shut the fuck
These
up.
These men are having a time.
And I find it absolutely amazing. Have you heard any of the diss tracks between like Chris Brown and Quavo?
Of course I have.
Drake using Tupac.
This shit is my crack. I love it.
Okay.
All right. I cannot get enough of these grown men fighting.
Which one did you like? Did you like Chris Brown's diss track to Quavo?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was so good.
I was like, Quavo, get up. Get up. Fight back.
Yo.
He didn't fight back.
He did not. Mm-mm. But I'm like, everything he said, I was like, ugh.
Because Quavo was just, mama. Yeah.
When he was like,
yeah, that's all he was doing.
When he said Takeoff was the wrong one that died, I was like, that was, oh man, oh no.
Quavo didn't come back with nothing. I was like, Quavo, get up, brother. No. Yeah, no, it was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't realize, for those of you who have been living under a rock or just haven't had cellular service in the last 3 weeks, Kendrick released a diss on Future's album towards Drake. Surprise, surprise.
And J. Cole got caught in the crossfire.
I've never seen someone just be like, hey, ho, I thought this was a joke.
He was like, me?
He's like, I thought we were just playing funny games. Anyway, it has turned into every rapper you've heard a song from in the last 6 years versus Drake. Yeah. And it is insane.
Rick Ross got into it.
These men who have nothing to say about nothing, they're like, you know what? And one time Drake did this shit to me and I have something to say about it.
Oh, white boy. You and your nose, you got liposuction.
Which I think is hilarious because to me, I think we've been saying it on this podcast, Drake has gotten so weird, cringy, corny in the last 2 years for sure. But you made a career off of singing to the girlies. Like, that was your big thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to make these rap songs with good beats for the girls. You're this man of the woman, And then you just flip shit up and you started saying all this crazy shit and you try to be this big dog last couple albums, you know. And now all these women are like, yeah, no, you're not shit.
Yeah.
And all the boys are coming for you too because no one likes you.
Yeah, I think Drake has always, you can tell he was a very unpopular child, even as a kid. And now you give him money and a great ghostwriter, and then now he's like, I'm the man. No, baby, you're not.
My opinion on ghostwriters has always been, it doesn't matter to me, because if you're putting out the music and people like it, they like your voice, whatever. I'm not the freaking pinnacle of rap. I don't give a shit.
I don't think there's anything wrong with ghostwriters. Like, you really think the president of the United States writes his own speeches? Nobody writes their own speeches anymore.
No,
like,
but you can't come out here saying some wild ass shit if you have ghostwriters.
Yeah, but I think too, you gotta realize, like, being a creative is a collaborative effort. Like, you can't just write all your own shit all the time, depending on whatever you're working on at that particular time. But I just feel like Drake is just, he's always trying too hard. Like, when he tried to go in the locker room and all that kind of stuff, like, he's just always doing shit like that. And it's just like, you are a multimillionaire. Just go sit down.
But I'm like, you are the Taylor Swift of rap. You are the pop rap guy. You are...
Yeah, nobody's taking you for real. You ain't no gangster rapper.
No, you are the, you know, not the sellout, but you are like the commercial hip hop guy.
From Canada.
No one's putting you with Kendrick and everybody.
You're not a lyricist.
No.
Now, your ghostwriter is probably a lyricist.
Hey, let's hear from him.
But I also think too, like, with the one thing that pissed me off about Drake, especially with the regard to this beef, is when he used AI to basically copy or imitate Tupac's voice to diss Kendrick.
An insane move.
I don't know who was in your team, but that to me, that was a real bitch move. Also, too, because I feel like Tupac, how prolific he was as a rapper and how educated he was in black American history, just world history in general, being raised by an amazing mother. I just felt like Kendrick Lamar would absolutely probably be in the top five of Tupac's, you know, favorite rappers of the generation that came behind him.
Both Geminis.
And both for him to use his voice, I was like, to me, that was insanely disrespectful. Insanely disrespectful.
We are on the heels of the Diddy controversy, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone talking about how Diddy's involved in Tupac's death. Sticky subject. Also, imitating someone's voice from the dead
is disrespectful.
To say things they didn't say.
And you didn't even get a permission from his estate.
Is what, that just shows me how above everything you think you are. Yeah. That's insane to me.
And the thing is, why do you need Tupac to help you diss somebody? If you're this prolific rapper, if you're just this amazing rapper, you should have been able to just come for their next at the same time. Drake has already shown he's not a battle rapper, okay? With the fact that Pusha T had already put him in the ground. I was like, sir, there's no need for you to come after Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar is an actual lyricist, my brother. Like, come on now. He got everybody out around here calling people bum. Like, dude.
I just couldn't believe how many people ended up coming out dissing Drake.
It was hilarious. Yeah, it was definitely like an AK-47 worth of stuff. It was absolutely amazing. What were you talking about, Ashanti?
Ashanti finally let us, the public, know that she is for real pregnant with Nelly's baby.
As opposed to wearing those ugly jerseys.
As opposed to just going through a stylistic and aesthetic choice change. And congratulations for her. And you know what? To all the people talking shit about her and her situation, shut the fuck up.
Here's the thing. Shut up. Ashanti is a millionaire. Ashanti's baby daddy is a millionaire. Your baby daddy don't even own a car. So your think piece about her being back with him and he was engaged to somebody else for 7 years and, oh, he playing in her face. Baby, these are millionaire problems. These ain't none of your business.
You know what? She is a visionary, dedicated, prophetic.
First of all, he's already a father. So she knows he'll probably be a great father. Why start over with somebody else? Go ahead and spin the block. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
If I wanted a Juicy Couture sweatsuit back when they were popping, never got one. And I have some big girl money now and I've wanted it my whole life. And yeah. I had the chance to buy it now. I'm going to fucking still want it. I'm going to buy it.
Absolutely.
That's what Nelly is to her.
I mean, you know, here's the thing. True love comes back around. What they say, if you let it go and it comes back, it's true love.
You know what? What's understood ain't gotta be explained.
You know, I just hate, I just love that that she is keeping her business to herself. Yeah. And I'm happy that she's not allowing people to be in her business like that with regard to, oh, how many months are you? When are you due? Hey, just keep it. Be like Beyonce and just shut your mouth. Shut your mouth and just come out with a baby. Anybody gotta know how you did it, just let it go.
I know all the Beyonce rumors are coming out again about the babies.
What? About that she didn't have her children for real?
About that she didn't have her children for real. About that Blue was Jay-Z's love child and how the mom of that child ended up dead and they stole the baby and that's why Blue Ivy like looks just like all this crazy shit.
But you know what? I think it's funny. It's Hollywood really needs to capitalize on some of this really weird and like schizophrenic behavior of people because people are very creative in the stories that they make up about celebrities that they have no access to. And to me, I just find it's one thing to say it behind closed doors and in the group chat. It's another thing to use your platform to try to discredit a woman's experience of birthing a child and giving life.
Can't imagine, dude.
That she could have almost died. We see it every day. You know, where women literally sacrifice their lives to have children. And the fact that, again, you have no proximity to this woman and you just, there's no way Beyonce's really Blue's mother. You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Also, mind the company that pays you.
Thank you. I want us to go back to the days of celebrity, for real celebrity, where you didn't know anything about these people. And the only gossip you got was from the National Enquirer when you were at the grocery store waiting in line to check out. That's what I want to go back to.
Today, my brother said, we were watching a documentary on John Gotti, and they were talking about the tabloids. And he was like, what are tabloids? I'm like, how far we have come.
My Lord.
Yep.
Jesus.
The children of the future.
The tabloids are like Hollywood Unlocked, Shade Room, Baller Alert.
I'm like, you know, when you had to buy magazines to read things, newspaper.
Exactly. Well, speaking of newspapers and magazines, i.e. real journalism to a degree. I don't know did you watch this past week that came out the Amanda Seales interview where she was on the Shannon Sharpe's show?
I haven't had the mental bandwidth to sit down and watch anything.
Yeah.
But I did see clips of it and boy, did they not disappoint.
So if you don't know, Shannon Sharpe is a retired football player who, NFL player who most notably had a show on ESPN with Skip Bayless. Doing commentary on all things sports related, right? And so now he has this YouTube show where he has his own podcast and he brings people on his show. Shannon Sharpe, I have never heard him actually say that he is a journalist. I think he's just a dumb jock who has, you know, a bit of celebrity. Come on his show.
I wouldn't even call them interviews. They're just kind of like sit down chats.
Yeah. Talks. And he's supposed to just shut the fuck up and let people talk. However, So I watched the Cat Williams interview, which was 3 hours. And Cat Williams, it really wasn't an interview. Cat Williams just, from the second he sat down, he just blurted it all out. And I love that about it. But for this interview that he did with Amanda Seales, we already know real journalism does not exist, unfortunately. I think the interview was a catch-22 for Amanda because I felt like it was a great opportunity for her to display in real time how people misconstrue everything she says, how people all like are determined to just misunderstand what she's saying and don't like her for invalid reasons. But also, too, I wish she would have given someone with a lot more intelligence that interview, because I'm an hour and a half into the interview. It's 3 hours long, but it does not feel like you're actually listening to it for 3 hours. I do it while I'm charting or whatever, or listen to it while I'm charting. But for me, I felt like Shannon Sharpe, number one, is not intelligent. Okay. And when I mean intelligent, I mean, well, that too. But I just feel like going up against Amanda Seales, who is prolific, number one, in her speech, but number two, this woman holds a master's degree in African American studies.
Sharp.
She is very sharp. She's very intelligent. She's very smart. She's well versed in a lot of different subject matters. And I felt like Shannon Sharp was definitely out of his depth completely.
Yeah.
The amount of gaslighting that he did to her in this interview was insane. The fact that even the most basic research that his team could have done was to find out whether or not this lady's mother was white.
Oh, that clip was the best. He was like, well, your mother's white. She was like, no, she's not
white. And he's like, well, she's West Indian. And I'm like, what he's does like, that
but
mean?
She's married to a white man. She was like, no.
Because he wasn't listening. And even one of the parts on there, too, that was like so profound and sad, I think, was the fact that she was talking about how when she worked at Disney, she grew up in Orlando, Florida. And so she was at Disney and she was called the N-word.
Like by Disney one, World or Disney the...
I think Disney, the actual company. Okay. Because, you know, they have an N in Orlando, but they also have, you know, their headquarters other places.
Got it.
And so she was on the set. She was the only black child at Disney or whatever at the time. And so she said that she was called the N-word by one of the other kids. Now, I guess she was anywhere between 8 to 11 years old or whatever. And so Shannon Sharp interrupts her. And he's like, well, you know, kids are kids, you know, like, I don't think that was really racism, and invalidating this woman's experience of what she felt. So then she gave a comparison and she said, so are you saying that it wasn't real racism and that these are just kids being kids? But what, so would you say the same thing for the kids who were calling Ruby Bridges derogatory names? People went on these whole think pieces. She tried to compare herself to Ruby Bridges. Like, y'all don't fucking listen. Like, what is wrong with y'all's brains? I kept screaming like the whole time, because as a person who is intelligent, it's very it's very hard to listen to stupid people. It just is, because like Amanda Seals kept like breaking the fourth wall. She was just like looking at the camera like. And I was like, Amanda, I can only imagine what you're thinking in this moment. But it was just the amount of gaslighting and trying to invalidate this woman's experience. And I'm telling you that I'm having an experience with you, mm-hmm. and you're telling me I'm not. What the fuck is wrong with you?
You know what's crazy? And I'm not comparing, and I'm not. It's just to see the juxtaposition in the way they are received. Is like Amanda Seals, who also has to defend herself all the time. And when you have to do that, you're very quick to do it, yeah. and know your shit and all da 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 da, right? The way she is received, being like a well-spoken black woman, mm-hmm. and the way that every time she's being interviewed about something, how the interview is already very quick to cut her off or yes. dismiss or whatever. And the way that we let Kanye go on anywhere all the time, always, and just say random, crazy, whatever yeah. he wants.
Absolutely.
And whoever he's sitting next to, whether or not they believe it or not, because half the time, you know, everyone thinks yeah. he's crazy. They'll be like, wow, yeah. Well,
that's so prolific what he's
exactly.
saying. Well, even too, like she was talking about Issa Rae, and this was the first time she had spoken about it publicly, because as we know, Amanda Seals was on Insecure, the show Insecure on HBO.
Character on that show.
It was amazing.
It could not have been better.
Well, she talked about her relationship with Issa Rae and how she didn't feel protected as a black woman on that set, because Shannon Sharp brought up the fact that Lil Rail, that he was like, oh yeah, you know, she employs all these black women and how, you know, she is provides a safe space. And so she was like, I disagree. And I think people forget, just because you like Issa Rae doesn't mean that Amanda Seals didn't go through something very real with Issa Rae. Not only that, they're coworkers. This idea that celebrities have to like each other and they have to be friends, you don't like your coworker that sits in a cubicle next to you. So why mm-hmm. the fuck do you think automatically that all of these personalities are going to get along? There's nothing wrong right. with the fact that they don't get along. But also, too, she was talking about very specifically how there was this sort of tension after the first season, and how she took Issa Rae out to dinner and was like, hey, let's just have a conversation. I just feel like you have a problem with me. And Issa mm-hmm. Rae was like, well, I feel like you have a problem with me, and da da da. And then he was talking about the controversy, even too, with the backlash of the AKAs, how when she wore the AKA paraphernalia on the show, I think it was the fifth season, how the AKAs came up in an uproar. And so he was like, I don't understand why the backlash came back to you when you didn't dress yourself. Like, you didn't create this character. She was like, exactly. She was like, and this is my point. that people are not liking me for stupid ass fucking reasons. Like, I didn't create the character Tiffany. Issa Rae created that character. Right. Issa Rae said that this woman was an AKA. I'm just a
goddamn good actress.
Exactly.
And you guys are projecting.
Well, it is not Amanda's job to make sure that the wardrobe department has cleared it with the headquarters of AKA, you know, Sorority Incorporated. That's not her job to do this. So she's coming to her job and they're putting her in a costume because mm-hmm. that's what she's wearing. I don't care if it's regular clothes, it's still a costume. And so for everybody to come up in this, Amanda Seale's always doing the most. I can't believe she would disrespect AKA. Molly was an AKA too and had paraphernalia. Y'all didn't say shit to her.
Mm-hmm.
Or Yvonne Orgy rather. But it was, I mean, it's a really great interview, but I just feel like in real time, you're seeing how people are just gung-ho on misunderstanding Amanda Seales. And I'm an Amanda Seales stan. There are a lot of things that Amanda Seales, well, I won't say a lot. There are some things that she speaks about that I disagree. I will never go on this woman's comments and say, I just need you to know I disagree with you.
Yeah.
She don't give a fuck.
We're not comment people.
No, never we're just not.
Never will be.
No, I will have a whole dialogue with my phone in my hand to myself and move the hell
on. Unless it's to win a contest, I will not be subscribing.
No, but I love her podcast. I love that she brings on, I love what she does for the Black community at large. I love how she does not pander to either side. She will call out Black leaders, she will call out white leaders, she will call out anybody that's doing an injustice to the people, but specifically to Black people in general. I love the work that she's doing for Palestine and for, you know, in Congo and Senegal by bringing attention to it. But I just feel like people are just gung-ho on just not liking her for whatever reason. I think I'm like, is this because she's light-skinned and just outspoken and intelligent? Does her intelligence just like intimidate you? Like, what
I
the
think
fuck?
She's just blunt and unapologetically herself, and people don't like that. Mixed with her being light skinned and having a lot of opinion, but
yeah, because
she is never well received. I think this in the last month or like month and a half, whatever she just did, and everyone was like, "Can y'all give her a break?" These two things have been the most well received I've seen Amanda Seales be, because people are like, actually, like, you need to cut her some slack.
Because I think people are, especially Black women, are seeing themselves in Amanda Seales. Like, you see what she goes through in real time, and you're going through that same stuff in corporate America on your job, where you're being gaslit, you're being, you know, invalidated, and you're seeing her go through it, and you're like, oh my God, like, I've been going through the same thing. And it's like, yeah, see that a celebrity can go through that as well too, and being in the proximity that she's in, and not even being invited into these Black spaces of Essence or and all this other kind of stuff, and then all these op-eds being written about her as clickbait, because nobody wants to do real true journalism. And that's why I said I hated the fact that she went on Shannon, but I'm grateful that she did, because again, it showed people what she's actually talking about in real time. It was played out in real time, but also too, I wish she had given an actual journalist who took the time to actually research who this woman is to give that interview and give that information.
Well, like if you type in Amanda Seales right now to Google, the headlines are Issa Rae blasted by Insecure co-star Amanda Seales. Amanda Seales denounces Issa Rae. Amanda Seales details conflict with Issa Rae. Amanda Seales felt interrogating during Club Shay Shay interview. Like,
and the crazy part is, when he first brought up Issa Rae, this is what Amanda Seales said, and I'm paraphrasing. She legit said, Issa Rae is important to the culture of Black women. And she was like, I've protected Issa Rae with regard to not talking about the situation, simply because what Issa Rae has done and what she is continuing to do is important work for Black women. Her being able to garner this amazing deal with HBO to produce all of this Black content is amazing and it's needed. So she gave Issa Rae her praise. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, just because you're doing something amazing in the community doesn't mean that I need to get along with you.
That's how you talk about coworkers. They're really good at their job. I don't fuck with them like that.
Our personalities don't mix, and that's okay.
But a lot of people really seem to like her.
And people were just like, well, you know, Amanda Seales, people always got issues with her. Okay, who are these people? It's the same scenario with Monique. When Monique came out, I remember the Breakfast Club interview, the last one that she did, Angela Yee was on there and was like, well, you know, I know people who personally have said that they work with you and they've had issues. She said, call their names. Yep. If you're not going to call their names, leave it on the playground. Everybody keeps saying, I heard. You've never worked with these people. You've never worked. Most people have never worked with Monique. Most people have never worked with Amanda Seales or Issa Rae. So the fact that you keep saying, well, I just keep hearing, the same shit that you hear on blogs all the time that are not true.
That's right.
It's absolutely insane. But anyway, neither here nor there. Shout out to Amanda Seals. What were you telling me about the NBA draft?
I was talking to you about the NFL draft. I didn't watch the NBA draft.
I didn't watch that either. I only watched the WNBA.
Because I don't know. Let me tell you this. I don't know what it is about the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. But they play those damn videos every year where, like, the family's talking to them about how proud they are and how hard they work, and the moms come on, and then you see the family sitting there with them. And I'm just like, man, my little heart. I just love that.
I just always look for the black mamas and the white girlfriend to be sitting there.
And they're like,
get off this couch. This ain't your moment. This is our moment.
And I love how the mama just grabs the son and the little white girlfriend sitting off to the side. She's just like, waiting because she knows just to fucking sit. Don't even fucking come over here right now.
Exactly.
We worked for this.
It's hilarious.
You're new to this shit. But I just love the draft. I think it's so fun. And then they're all emotional. I can't imagine. You know what? Maybe if I had worked very hard for something every day.
You didn't work hard for your degree?
I worked. I just feel like I didn't put in the physical labor.
True.
And you know that you're like, that's the huge goal is like the pros. And you made it and you're there. It's just like a really crazy thing to watch.
I wish that would have been the same case for us as healthcare workers.
Can you imagine? Because
we worked our lives to be able to get this degree. And then we were all bamboozled.
Yeah.
It was like, God damn.
The check does not match.
No, it was definitely not a victorious moment when we got our first jobs. It was just horrible. But
did you watch the draft?
I did not. I watched the WNBA draft because, again, I support women's sports. And
I just saw the outfits.
Oh, amazing. All of them looked beautiful.
Love it.
I did not like Caitlin Clark's outfit. I was like, she's trying to be like the white girl that's cool. And I was like, Prada, I don't know what the fuck y'all did, but that wasn't her style.
No.
I didn't think that was her style.
I'm like, let her be a little Midwestern white girl. Just like,
seriously.
And let it be.
And she's a tomboy. Just let her be.
Just let her be.
Yeah. I did watch that NBA, the WNBA draft. And I'm happy to see that Camila Cardoza and Angel Reese are now going to be teammates. I think it's going to be an amazing time in the WNBA season, this upcoming season. And
I think this will be the biggest WNBA season.
Here's the one thing that I don't like, and this is, I keep saying this, the WNBA, period. Y'all need to put me on your marketing team. Please hire me on your marketing team because y'all are pissing me off.
Did you see the new WNBA promo, like the marketing commercial?
Yes, I did. But I just feel like here's my problem with it. So the Indiana Fever, who Aaliyah Boston's on their team as well as Caitlin Clark, right? And so they now, most of their average amount of their tickets were usually like between $50 to $60. This upcoming season, the average cost of their tickets are now like $160.
Oh, fuck off.
And this is my point. My point is that you all, as a league, have all eyes on you. And instead of keeping the ticket prices where they are and beefing up your amount of merch. So people can come. Most people are not paying $160 to go to a regular Spurs game on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you already don't have enough eyes on you and you to do some stupid bullshit like that. Now, I don't doubt that people will pay. But you have to remember, these are people who are not actual fans of the WNBA. They are fans of Caitlin Clark. And wherever she goes, that's where that fan base is going to go. Not only that, most of the ticket seats are young women who are either, you know, middle class, impoverished or whatever, that are coming to these games. These kids cannot afford $160 tickets. And they also don't want to be up in the goddamn rafters either. That's where they can't see the players.
Crazy.
I'm just like, y'all, the WNBA, y'all need to revamp because goddamn, all I'm saying is hire me and you're going to pay me well because, baby, y'all are not capitalizing on any of this shit. It's so fucking annoying.
Because you could have had this next year to just have stadiums filled. Up the price to like $10, $20, you know?
You could have came out and charged $160 for a jersey and still made the same amount of money and keep your ticket prices low.
Yeah.
Your ticket prices are still paying for the building. Keep your ticket. You could have put it up by $10. Yeah. But the fact that you doubled it, almost tripled, like, come on.
And I'm like, stupid. And the people who have been going for years and years.
Exactly.
You know.
And this is how you build a fan base, not off of this, you know, this quick notoriety and, you know, this fast, you know, almost like fast fashion. It's like, no, have something that has a little bit more longevity. So even if Caitlin leaves, guess what? You're still going to be able to make money and market that same, you know, area or whatever. But also too, this, after they got drafted, It was allegedly released of their contracts. And so Caitlin Clark
making shit.
Well, here's the thing too. Okay, I have a double-sided opinion about that. Number one, these women have been making millions of dollars with NIL deals, right?
True.
And we talk about gender equality all the time. Now, if you're going to match salaries, let the women match the men, right? But at the same time, you will never convince me that people who dribble balls all day, run pigskins up and down a field, kick a ball up and down, deserve hundreds of millions of dollars. And to sit here and say, before you even say some dumb shit out your mouth about, they put their bodies on the line. Bitch, so do nurses, doctors, and therapists. Shut the fuck up. Number three, these women came out of school. Okay, the contract basically said, or allegedly said, the first year she'll make like $73,000, $76,000. The next year she'll make like $79,000 and so forth and so on. Here's the thing. Most people who graduate from college ain't making $70,000 a year.
That's true. And so she's welcome to reality. She's got her Nike deal. She's got all her other shit.
But also, too, going back to my first point, which contradicts my second point.
At least you're honest.
It needs to match the men. There's no reason why Angel Reese is not signing a multi-million dollar deal with the WNBA, with that particular team. But also, too, going back to the team, you have to be smart in your marketing. Because this is the best time for the WNBA to capitalize on that audience, because all eyes are on this new class that just came out. And if you don't capitalize on it, you're going to lose. And then you're going to be talking about this same bullshit 10 years from now. Well, you know, we had a time and we just don't know what happened. You raise ticket prices as opposed to raising your merch prices. And then that can be your fucking money, you stupid bitches. God damn.
She told you.
And let's talk about the real elephant in the room.
And another thing.
Number four, you need to add some more WNBA teams. Goddamn. Anyway.
Ours is gone. We used to have one.
Well, it's the Aces.
Oh, that's true.
They moved them to Las Vegas. They moved to San Antonio.
They got rid of our WNBA team, and they got rid of our hockey team, and I'm so sad about it.
The Chunklers?
No, we're the Rampage. They got sold.
Really?
Yeah, and those games were fun.
Well, I mean, were there a lot of people that usually came in?
There was a good amount of people, but they would do like dollar beers, dollar hot dogs.
So you just went there for the food.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with
but
that.
But it's fun. Hockey games are fun. Yeah.
That's super cool.
Now all we have is the Spurs, and we're not doing too hot.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what else is fun. Prom season.
I love prom talk.
I do too.
And I love specifically Southern Black prom TikTok.
Yeah.
Because the dresses are just chef's kiss phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They are dressed to the 7, 8, 9, 10s.
Yeah.
But even better is this new wave of like walking out of the door, not the prom goer, but her little sisters or friends who come out dressed alike and start doing a dance number to then introduce the girl who's actually going to prom as she walks out to her Beyonce song with the fog machine going just to show off her dress. I love it.
You know what I do?
It's the production, the theater of it all.
I love prom season because I love how creative these young people are and how we didn't have stuff like that. Like,
no.
When I was a senior in high school going to prom, like prom was a big thing, but not really. It was like, who cares what your dress looks like? Like we could look at pictures now and laugh at ourselves. Like this was the style that was ugly. I told y'all I wore a tablecloth. It looked like a tablecloth to me. The fabric did. But what I do not like about prom season is the fact that so many people have so much negative shit to say about these young people. Oh, you're showing too much cleavage. You're showing too much. And I'm just like, don't be mad because your dress was ugly. And now you're jealous of these young kids because their parents are creating the finances to be able to give them the dress of their dreams. I wish I could do my prom all over again. But I'm also not going to hate on the younger generation because they look better than me at prom.
Right.
Rightfully so. I went to prom in 2002.
Also, fashion has changed.
Yes.
Style has changed. These girls can show. They're showing what they want to show also because now we're holding people more accountable. Stop looking at someone like that. Stop making these crazy comments. Because I'm still a child. And you don't need to be looking at me like that or saying these things.
And most of these kids are 18. Most of them at prom are already 18.
Yeah.
And they are already adult. Let them commit a crime. I bet you they asked to be tried as an adult. But you want to worry about their head. They back out and they got sequence this and they got a see-through dress. Who the fuck
cares?
If my
mama says it's fine, it's fucking fine.
It's one night that these kids have a chance to, like, literally. What other time in your life do you have an opportunity to really dress up like this?
Your wedding.
Not even your wedding, because you're going to be in a white dress.
That's true.
But versus getting style and you get to rent your whatever car you want to and have a horse and buggy or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like,
just their let kids having kids fun live. And guess what? They're still in school. That's why they're going to prom. So let's focus on that.
Most of the people who are pissed off at these kids are mad because their dresses was ugly. And yo, bad. You should have had better style back in the day. Okay. Anyway, speaking of better style, we gotta talk about political shit for a minute.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, we're a political podcast. We're political commentators.
Your favorite political podcast.
Absolutely. So
back on the campaign trail.
So recently, Joe Biden actually, the House and the Senate both passed this $95 billion. I didn't say million. I said billion with a B.
Jeez.
$95 billion financial package to send weapons and money to Ukraine and Israel. Also, too, on the backs of that, they slid in, okay, at the end, banning TikTok.
To make something bad even worser.
Well, people said that there's going to be this big class action suit against them right now. So it's going to go to court, because I guess the ban does not take place until like another 120 days or something like that. But people are going to block it anyway, because these are people's livelihoods. And that's you true. Can't sit there and say that this is for
it grows security. The economy.
It does. And then too, you can't sit here and say, oh, well, this is the protection of your identity. There was a huge data breach from Facebook.
Also, what didn't now. United Health just get breached?
AT&T.
Also, I've given Apple everything, and that China's got it. It's just let me be the judge of who can breach me.
Listen, have you shopped on Shein? You already breached, bitch.
Bitch, I'm on TikTok shop. They got everything.
On Temu, you've already been breached.
Okay, here's the thing about Temu. When I tell you, there were people at work, and I kept saying it was like admin people.
Yeah.
Not admin, but like case managers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, you do the polite thing. You see something that doesn't look horrible, so you're like, yeah. Oh, you know, you look nice, it's really cute. Mm-hmm. Every day this bitch would be like, Temu. I thought that was fake.
Y'all skin gonna fall off. Y'all keep buying from that site.
I thought that was fake. She was like, yeah, I order off of Temu.
They're gonna take they're gonna take your credit card, not your identity.
I wouldn't do it, but it's working for some people.
Yeah, people are like, yeah, I got this on Temu for like 2 cents.
I genuinely thought that was a scam.
Like, no, it's a real thing. People buy stuff from Temu all the time.
That's crazy.
I personally won't do it. But I think people, here's the thing. In this political climate, this is probably the most dangerous political climate I think we've ever been in, or I've ever been in, or been aware of as an adult. And a lot of freedoms are being taken away, unfortunately. And we are definitely turning into a dictatorship type of country. And not a democracy. Our democracy is definitely at risk of being gone. The biggest thing is that I hear a lot of discourse on social media talking about how people are like, well, you signed this TikTok ban, Joe Biden. You might as well say goodbye to your presidency. And I'm just like, I will keep going back to this.
Loses the presidency over TikTok.
But not voting is not the answer. And true. Voting for the other guy just because they banned. Like, here's what I want people to understand. The House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, voted yes to push it through.
Yeah.
Number two.
They were like, oh, this TikTok shit, we've got to come. I know that there's a lot of crazy shit going on in the world, but we've got to come together and stop the TikTok.
Here's the thing. The same people that are talking about stop the genocide are the same people that are voting to give $95 billion in aid to Israel.
Isn't it just wild how that happens?
And not only that, the same people that y'all put in Congress that you vote for, please correct me if I'm wrong, because again, you only come here for the shit talking, okay? The House currently is run by Democrats. Am I right about it? I'm right about it. Sounds the right Senate is also controlled by Democrats. Am I right about it? I'm right about it.
Think you are.
If they didn't want this bill to pass,
they would have fucking killed it.
They would have killed it. The Democrats also voted for this bill. It wasn't just a bunch of Republicans that voted yes on this shit.
It's a bunch of people with more money than we have.
Thank you. Who do not care about you.
That's the real divide.
And Joe Biden's America. This ain't Joe Biden's America. Joe Biden is just at the end that says,
this is the 1% America. We're just fucking in the simulation. We have simulated rights. We have simulated autonomy.
We're in a Sims.
We're in a Sim. We're just boop, boop, boop.
And the aliens are controlling us. Even this podcast right
now. It's like when you tell a toddler like, oh, here's your two choices, knowing there's 60 other choices, but you're not even going to let them know about those.
No.
You're going to give them these two choices because that's what you've decided to let them choose between.
Exactly. Well, even now, there was some, I don't know if it was a bill that was passed or something happened where a lot, I think it was a part of this bill too, as well too. It was making protesting on college campuses illegal.
Isn't that what being in college is about?
Exactly. Being a young person and being able to have your freedom of speech.
Navigating that.
Exactly. And so now a lot of these kids on these campuses are being arrested and maced and all this other kind of stupid crap because they're protesting the genocide, which we should be allowed in this country to protest peacefully, which that these students have been doing.
I feel like we were founded on a peaceful protest.
Well, I mean, we were founded on genocide, unfortunately, but
yeah, there was some of that.
There was some of that in the beginning, a lot of it. But it's just insane to me that I know Hot Wheels signed into law last year in the state of Texas that, you know, kids should be able to protest, da 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 da. And then now you over here macing people on UT's campus in Austin. Like, what the fuck is wrong with
they
you,
don't dude? Play that shit down here in Texas.
It's ridiculous. I mean, let these kids have freedom of speech. I personally, I'm not a soldier in that army. I will talk shit from this mic and from my house, but going down there and getting arrested, I know me. I'm too violent for that. Not violent. I'm not violent. I am.
Well, there's different strokes for different folks. And if you are called to be someone who feels the need to stand out there and tell your truth and stand up for something, absolutely, you should be allowed to do that peacefully. If you want to sit inside and talk some shit on a microphone for a group of people who subscribe to your podcast,
that's very true.
We should be allowed to do that.
I'm educating the people.
There you go.
The one thing that I do not agree with, though, with protesters, and again, I'm not out there on the courts with y'all, on the field. I totally get it.
Front lines.
So I may be invalid in what I'm saying, but I just don't appreciate the protesters who block the roads. Because as a healthcare professional, there are people who have emergencies, and I understand that your agenda is important. It's very important, and I agree with your agenda. Block the doors of these halls and of these buildings where they're conducting business to make decisions that harm and affect us. Not everyday Americans that are trying to get to work. That's the only thing that I don't agree with. You have ambulances, fire trucks and stuff, rescue people that are trying to get to people. And I'm just saying it from a medical standpoint. I'm not saying that that's always the case, but I just don't agree with blocking major roads. That's it. That's my only dog in a fight.
Okay.
That was it. What were you talking about, Dollar Tree? Speaking of dog in a fight.
So there's two types of people. There's Dollar Tree people and there's not Dollar Tree people. I am a avid not Dollar Tree person.
Really? I'm an avid Dollar Tree person.
Unfortunately. I just can't do it. Doesn't sit right with me. It just makes me ugh to be in there.
That's very classist of you.
Mostly because you have to do a lot of searching.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Like, it's not set up in a way that helps me in my brain, and I just throw it.
Go to one in a nice neighborhood. That's what I do.
And also smells like dust. Also, it's a dollar, but all the packages are small. It's just a whole thing. I'm just a Target bitch. Always have been, always will be.
I'm fucking bougie.
I know. But there are Dollar Tree people out there who love a deal, and the whole grab of Dollar Tree is that shit's a fucking dollar.
Exactly.
Okay? Not anymore, because they have raised the cap to $7.
That's insane to me.
Price cap
at $7. I'm going to Five Below. You think I'm going to go to...
$7? Is that how bad inflation is? I mean, yeah, I feel it. I know that's how bad it is.
I wish the hell I would go to Dollar Tree and spend damn $7.
Can you imagine picking up one thing at Dollar Tree? It's $7.
Hell no, because I wouldn't do it. I mean, I went today, but I usually go there for my office candy.
You know when I would go to Dollar Tree is holidays. You know, you can go for Christmas and get like teacher gifts and stuff.
True, yes.
And that's easy because you just grab a bunch of $7.
And gag gifts too.
I'm gonna have to be a Dollar Tree bitch now.
Well, and see, this is why Temu and Shein are gonna keep prospering, because
oh my gosh,
I can go on Temu and get something for 50 cents while you over here talking about I'll pay $7 or $1.25 for something.
Have you ever heard of Brandy Melville?
No.
Okay, it's this store which is like for little white girls, and there's only one size, so it was very controversial because
they sell clothes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because how do you have one size of clothes for teenage girls? That's like super detrimental.
Are these like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants type of clothes where they fit everybody?
It's just everyone needs to be a size 2, and if you're not, tough fucking shit.
We're protesting.
yeah. But I was watching the documentary about them, and they just within this documentary were talking about fast fashion and how they send all of these clothes to Africa, and they were showing the like markets basically in Africa, and they call them dead man's clothes because they were thinking, oh, if all these people in America are sending us these clothes, they must be dying. Like, why would we have all these clothes? It's just extra fast fashion that's getting sent over there from people donating because we have nowhere to donate them to.
Yeah.
And it's they just show this like aerial view of these huge markets in Africa, and it's just all clothes. It's crazy.
Well, so you could pull apart maybe like five shirts and create one big shirt from it.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know what
that had to do. What did it have to do with Dollar Tree? What? Tie it back. You can do it.
I can. Give me a second. All that to say, we don't need more. We don't need more Temus and Sheins. We just need shit to be fucking affordable and made well. And then we can stop sending it to Africa.
Well, I mean, I think Africa benefits from it, right?
They do, but they're overwhelmed. They don't even...
They're telling you to stop.
The statistic was... I want to say it was Kenya, but I'm not sure. But the statistic was every single person in that country would have to, every day have five new pieces of clothing to make it even with how much we're sending over there.
Damn.
Like, it's a massive amount of clothes.
So it's just pulling your junk over there.
Yeah, basically. You're just using it as a junk deal. All these countries have, they're not embargoes, but they're like trade deals with Africa. Like, okay, we have a deal with you to send all of these donated clothes over to you. And when Africa tries to tell them we're not taking any more, then they start putting, you know, all these like taxes and stuff on them. Well, if you're not going to do this, then we're going to do this, and
that. If you're not going to accept our crap, then we're not going to give you this.
Isn't that so fucked up?
Yeah, that really is. Anyway, that's horrible.
If you're interested in Brandy Melville or fast fashion, I would watch the documentary. It's on HBO.
That is absolutely insane. I love Dollar Tree, and I'm pissed off that they're doing that shit. Because, like I said, I go there for my work candy.
That is okay. Tell me in the comments if you think this is true or not. Dollar Tree is like an inherently millennial thing. I feel like I know more millennials that ride and die for Dollar Tree than any other group of people. I don't know what it is.
Because it was a store for us to be able to afford. Like, most of us, like, if our parents gave us lunch money, right? We could go in that store and feel like a millionaire.
I know people over 50 that are like, oh, yeah, we can go to Dollar Tree. And I know people under 30 who are like, oh yeah, I've been to Dollar Tree. But for some reason, the millennial subset of people are like, oh, I go once a week at least. Absolutely. I just got to see what's there. I'm like, what's there? It's the same shit.
No, but it makes you feel like a baller. Like, again, it's healing your childhood because when you went to the store, you couldn't touch stuff. So now you can buy whatever you want.
That's true.
And whatever you buy, it's like, well, it's only a dollar, so I'm not really missing much.
But do you need it?
That's not the point. It heals our soul.
Okay.
Do you not want our souls to be healed?
I want, you know what? I pray that over you. I want your soul
Thank
to be
you.
Healed.
Thank you. Let Dollar us have fun at the Dollar Tree. Now, we're not going to eat the food.
No.
Like, not the frozen food or the refrigerated stuff.
Michelina's meal?
That's probably rotten. No, we don't do that.
Okay.
But the candy, yes. The little chips and stuff.
Oh, that'll last forever.
And then they sell candy that you can't really get in, like, Walmart or Target anymore. So that's the blessing of it.
Okay. Well, so now it's $7. So no, go buy now.
I guess the thrill is gone.
The thrill is gone.
We need to talk about AI real quick for a second. So, I heard this new scam that's going on with AI with regard, because we were talking about Tupac earlier and how Drake disrespectfully used AI to recreate Tupac and diss
Kendrick Lamar. Also, the fact that you can do that, like, we have the technology to do that, is scary.
Well, I feel like we keep saying this. We keep making movies about AI. Like, has nobody watched I Am Legend? Like, come on. We know what this is
what's happening. Eagle Eye.
Exactly.
You can do this all day.
I mean, Enemy of the State. I mean, that's not AI, but whatever. Anyway.
Good movie.
It was a great movie, man.
Man, Will Smith really hit a stride.
Gene Hackman. Come on.
Amazing. Big Enemy of the State.
Regina King. Oh.
That was amazing. Quintessential night. Was that 90s or 2000s?
I think it was early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Yeah. Just like, oh God.
That was a great movie.
Could watch it right now.
Great script. Great beginning to ending. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So there's this new scam that's going on and I need y'all to be very aware of. So apparently people are using AI to replicate your voice and to call people that you know, right? But they're also calling even some of the nicknames or the way, like if I call, like if your name is Alyssa, but if I called you Lissa, they would know like, oh, Monica That's calls crazy. Alyssa Lissa or whatever the case may be. But what they're doing is they're saying stuff like, oh my God, I got into this accident and, you know, this woman was pregnant or whatever. Whatever story they're coming up with, like I'm in jail, I need you to bail me out, da 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 da. But they sound just like you. So it's different if somebody just calls you randomly, but they're calling you from their, what from appears to be number. Their number or like another number, like, hey, this is why I need you to answer.
Yeah.
And it sounds just like you. So I need you to be very diligent.
Your voice, I mean, if you make any kind of video or leave any kind of voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
They have access to your
voice. Our voice is all over the internet.
Oh, us? Yeah, I don't all shut the fuck up. You can probably, it'll be so easy to impersonate me. I was going to say something. 5, 6, 7, 8. AI stealing identities.
Nope. Well, there was a situation that happened, I think it was last year, where a principal was caught on, somebody recorded him making this racist rant against like black people and Jews and all that kind of stuff. So apparently, allegedly, it was found that the athletic director actually used AI to do the racist rant, and he used his voice, but it wasn't actually the principal.
Messed up.
So he got arrested for doing that. I saw that on social media, so I don't know how true that is, because I'm not a real journalist.
I remember what I was going to say.
Okay, let's hear it.
On TikTok, I saw this woman who is a private investigator. This is why we can't get rid of TikTok.
True.
As a Gemini and someone with ADHD, I really just cannot get rid of this app. But she was saying, you know how sometimes company, you'll opt into something on a company and they'll say, oh, okay, like, if you'd like us to stop sending you text, press like send stop, yeah, or your whatever. You just get an automated message from a company that you know about. Sometimes you get random ones, mm-hmm, like you know that it's spam from Amazon or something. Mm-hmm. She said sometimes like private investigators will send those to your phone hoping you'll say stop or question, mm-hmm, or something, and it pings your location, and that's, yeah, how they know where you are.
That's true.
That's crazy.
Yeah, even like when a job, because you know, for us, we get offered jobs every single day.
Right.
Multiple times a day as PTs and OTs, because our information is in a database, unfortunately. And so when we get text messages, somebody will be like, hi, it's Tom from Delta Corporation, da 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 da. You know, do you have time to speak about a thing? And you send back yes, or are you interested in the job? Yes or no. Right. And they do the same thing.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, this is what I want to go back to real quick before we get out of here. We were talking about the Amanda Seales and Shannon Sharp interview. Mm-hmm. She was talking specifically about, because there was a lot of think pieces about autism. And I know you don't have autism, but you do have ADHD, because, mm-hmm, you've been clinically diagnosed by a physician with ADHD. Correct. And on medication. She was talking about how she is autistic, and basically that she is self-diagnosed autism or autistic, and people were coming up with these think pieces talking about how, you know, oh, well, you lied and said that you are autistic, but you have no clinical diagnosis, and da 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 da. And I think it's very important to bring up and note that as clinical professionals, how you can have the signs and symptoms of something and diagnose yourself with it because you display those signs and symptoms, even if you didn't go through specific testing. Like, it's very different if I test you, you know, you get an MRI or a CT scan that shows you actually had a stroke or whatever the case may be. Like, I use, for example, as a PT, I can go back and a patient can come in and say, hey, I'm having these symptoms, these signs, blah, blah, blah. And I can tell them, hey, you have I believe you have a disc herniation, but I need you to go and get imaging in order to confirm it. Right. Me as a person who has a disc herniation, I knew, because again, with the knowledge that I have and the schooling and the experience that I have, I knew that I had a disc herniation. I just didn't know which level it was. I knew it was either between L3 to L5. And so I went to an orthopedist able to navigate the healthcare system to say, hey, give me the MRI. Tell me exactly what's going on. And it was confirmed that I did, in fact, have a disc herniation. I think for Amanda Seales and the lack of depth that Shannon Sharp has to be able to keep up with her conversationally, it was insane, because the fact that he said, well, just because you're brilliant doesn't mean you're automatically autistic. Like, you can be autistic without being really smart or really brilliant or whatever, and not him not understanding really what autism really looks like. Mm-hmm. But for most of us who actually have somewhat of common sense, we could navigate through the fact that she was talking about as a child, because she was saying that most of the clinical diagnoses are diagnosed when you are a child. Right. But at the same time, just because
you're it's all behaviors.
It's all behavior.
It's but not like a broken adult, bone.
Yeah.
You can't do a scan and be like, oh, that brain has autism.
Exactly. But also too, when you are just because you display these signs and symptoms as a kid, it doesn't go away in adulthood.
Correct. And you learn how to mask things.
Exactly.
It's a spectrum. So you can be higher functioning and have the awareness to say, like, oh, that's not how all of these other people are, mm-hmm, acting. I have to try and act like all of these other people. Right. Also, autism presents wildly different in girls than it does boys.
Absolutely.
It's super underdiagnosed in women. Mm-hmm. Also, we all do it. We watch a video, we read an article, we see someone else, we learn these things, and we're like, I do A, B, C, D, mm-hmm, and E. I might have that too, mm-hmm, you know? And even if I don't go get a diagnosis, I can still, you know, keep researching and, exactly, learning more about that thing. I don't know. It's not like there's not a scan for it. It's not like I can pinpoint it. And that's what medicine is, especially in behavioral health. You're just like, hey, you have all these symptoms and it sounds like you have this. So let's try this because that's probably what, that is what that doctor will tell you.
And then here's the thing too. You can say, well, I've self-diagnosed, you know, to be allergic to grass. Now, I don't need a test to go there. Every time I cut my motherfucking grass, bitch, I'm sneezing and coughing and my eyes are itchy. I can tell you that I'm allergic to this shit. That doesn't mean that, oh, I'm saying make exceptions for me because I'm allergic to grass. Or, you know, I felt like she was talking about it from the standpoint of, listen, I'm not going to pay $10,000. She even said in one of her lives, she said, I'm not going to pay $10,000 to get diagnosed when I can already do. I've done enough research. Again, this is a person who has a master's degree. She reads avidly. Like, she can go through this whole process and say, listen, I know that these are the symptoms that I displayed as a kid, you know, the social awkwardness, the social unawareness, blah, blah, blah. Because I know even for me, I technically have diagnosed myself, and I don't say it out loud all the time, but I feel like I do have a form of dyslexia. And I feel like if I would have gotten tested and actually gotten assistance with it, I probably wouldn't have struggled as bad as I did in college. Now, I do have 4 degrees, right, with the highest being a doctorate degree, and I have 2 graduate degrees. However, I know for me, testing was so much more difficult because my brain flipped everything. You've even seen it too. When I chart, I can literally write one word. I can write the word beautiful. It will be backwards, but in the correct order. Like, my brain just flips numbers and letters and words all the time. That is a form of dyslexia. And this is why too, test taking for me was so difficult growing up, because my brain would flip things. Now, I didn't tell my mom and dad about it all the time. They were just like, you need to study more. You need to apply yourself. And I'm like, I'm applying.
Also, if that's all you know, you don't know that it's different.
Exactly.
Than the typically, like how people typically read.
You're like, why is it so easy for Alyssa to just go in there and take a test and she has no issue?
You're just thinking, she's better at it than I am. Let me work hard. You're not thinking. Especially back then, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is all very new because people grew up with these issues and are now like, there had to be something. And now, like, I'm gonna make sure my kid doesn't have these same issues because everyone's more educated and informed and on the internet sharing these stories.
Well, even too, when you go back to, like, just even culturally, so I know for Black people specifically, especially people who've had a lot of trauma, there was this person that gave this very good example and was saying, you know, people are self-diagnosing themselves with anxiety and stuff. And people are like, you realize that your parents, you knew who was walking in the house based off of their footsteps. You don't think that that's anxiety, bitch? Like, come on now. You over here. I'm overstimulated. You're making too much noise. It's too much movement. You don't think that that's anxiety? Like, look up the definition of this shit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, people try to, you know, and I get it. There are times where I have joked and said, you ain't got no goddamn ADHD. Stop blaming that shit on your ADHD. You're just a horrible person. But I think just in the, but reality in the grand scheme of things, if you've displayed these actions and you've done the research to say, what are some of the signs? And you know, online, they have all these little tests and stuff now. They didn't have that stuff back in the day. Exactly. That at least shows you something. And even if you don't have, like you said, it's not, this is not a scan that you can take of your brain or blood work that you can do that says you have autism. You have to be within this particular range of number to say, well, yes, we feel like you do, or no, we feel like you don't. And people were like, she lied about having autism. She didn't lie. He asked her, are you diagnosed? And she said, there is a clinical diagnosis for autism. She did not say yes or no. But I feel like I can see how people misconstrue that and just like, well, she's lying about being autistic. No, she can display signs and symptoms of autism, or, you know, even though it's not called Asperger's anymore, but
high functioning autism.
Right. High functioning autism. But I just need people to be very careful with nowadays. Everything is changing. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't have specific, you know, standards of practice at this point to a degree, and people, and it's still evolving, especially how everybody is able to come online and say, oh my God, that's not unique to me. I thought I was the only person on earth that dealt with this.
You know? Also, typically, and I know it's changing now, but in the past, typically people with autism have been presented in media a very specific way.
Yes.
Which is very low functioning or very high stemming or
nonverbal.
Yeah. Or they're just like, you know, the super genius. Like, and so there were these, like, ends of the spectrum of autism being shown. So now when you're hearing someone say, oh, I have been diagnosed with autism, but it presents this way, you can be like, oh, that, you know, strikes a chord with me. I thought it was just one of these things. Exactly. I don't know. Why do people care? There's a Reddit article posted a day ago. What's going on with Amanda Seals? Who is she? And why do people care if she has autism or not?
That's what I'm saying.
We don't. No one, and it's not, I don't think she was saying like these crazy outlandish things about people with autism or she doesn't believe in autism or vaccines caught. She was just saying.
She was talking about her experience.
I believe this to be true about myself.
She believes, based off her experiences, even as a child and as an adult now, certain things that she has to do with regard to stimming and all that other kind of stuff, like she feels, she believes that she has autism. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. No. Because again, as you educate yourself about certain diagnoses, you understand, oh, this is the why, this is the reason why I was the way I was, or this is why I needed this, or whatever the case may be. And I think we as a society, I will continue to say this, these people are trying to take your rights away and you worried about Amanda Seals' autism.
If I shit my pants every time I have ice cream, I'm going to call myself lactose intolerant.
Thank you.
I just don't know what you want me to do. I'm just going to say that what it is.
Listen, if every time I get up and my hip clicks, bitch, I got arthritis. I know I do.
I didn't go to a doctor for that.
I mean, I went to PT school, so I know what arthritis is. So I have a different level of understanding of the signs and symptoms of certain diseases and disorders.
Only you know what's going on in your body.
Only you can prevent forest fires, baby.
We've always said that. Always.
I just really need people to just
mind your business.
The
that's
business
all.
That pays you. And stop with the think pieces. Just stop. It'll help your life so much. Anything else you can talk about before we go into what we're watching?
No.
Okay, so we're... what were you talking about the star? About Star, the show Star.
Attention, attention, ladies and gentlemen. Please turn up your speakers. I have an announcement. Our favorite Fox show.
Yes.
Star is getting a movie. I always forget what this button is.
There we go. And that one too. Yes.
Quincy posted about it.
Okay, here's my question. Was he supposed to post about it? Because Lee Daniels hadn't posted anything.
I know. And I'm like, Quincy, of all the people who are posting right
I'm like,
now,
and they about to write your ass. Right?
Yeah, you just gotta, you should be staying real. I mean, he was like, I need some positive press.
Yo.
I don't care who said it, who's doing it. If it's a lie, I'll go for him myself. But I need a Star movie.
I need a conclusion, and I need closure from that show.
All we know is his grandma's dead. That was the last thing.
That's it.
I was so happy when I saw that. I was literally jumping for joy.
I just wish they would not have canceled that show.
It was so good.
It was so good. It was. Because Hollywood just keeps recycling the same couple of people and the same couple of raggedy ass storylines. But I'm like,
make sure Queen Latifah's free and Keke Palmer.
That's what I'm saying. Just let these people do what they do. Like, just let them have bring Brandy back. Come on now. Like, we need her.
Oh, all hits.
Oh, Miss Lawrence. Bangers. We need them all back. Like, Jesus.
Such a good show.
I wish that they would Mara Brock Akil would actually do a Girlfriends finale.
Oh. Because
like, Girlfriends, we didn't get closure on that. Mm-hmm. We didn't get closure on Moesha. There's a lot of fucking shows we didn't get closure on. Damn it.
2025.
They need to just come out with it. Instead of doing reboots, finish the fucking shows. Yes. Let's do that. Let's
big
work on the show.
That. Love, and starting with Lovecraft Country.
Thank you. I'm about to get my blood pressure up. Misha Green. Listen what I need from you, baby. Misha, I got $20 to help with the investment.
Where's your GoFundMe?
Where's your GoFundMe? I got at least $50. I'll up it to $50. Misha Green, this is an appeal to you,
that's
ma'am.
Like five things at Dollar Tree.
All of a sudden, that's very true with the new prices. But Misha Green, I got $50 to help you get Lovecraft Country going, season two. I just need season two.
I need it. It was so good.
I know Michael, what's his name? Michael, the one who passed away from the overdose.
Oh.
Michael, whatever his name is. I can't remember his name, his last name, but I know he's gone. However, I need you to bring Hippolyta back. I need you to bring everybody back. But I know Jonathan Majors had a bunch of issues. But you know, bring him back still. He's still good. I need to know if he died or not. But what else have you been watching? I can't wait for that movie to come out.
Okay, I need to talk about this reality show that I've been watching on Peacock called The McBee Dynasty. Have you heard about it?
McBee Dynasty?
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay. It is like Yellowstone, but in real life. Like, this is a real life family of ranchers who make a shit ton of money, and then he has these four sons.
So it's a reality show.
It's a reality
show.
Oh,
cool.
Pieces of shit.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
But it's so entertaining. I just can't get enough of it.
And it's called the B Dynasty?
McBee Dynasty.
McBee Dynasty. Sorry.
One of the sons was on another reality dating show called Joe Millionaire. Mm-hmm. Where he met this girl, so he keeps bringing back this little white girl who's from the city, and everyone's like, we hate this girl. Can't stand her. She's from the city. The dad is like patriarch of the family, mm-hmm. went through a nasty divorce with his wife, so he's vowed to never get married again. I can almost guarantee he ruined their marriage.
Wow.
He is currently dating his business partner because they have this large ranch and ship, but they're trying to diversify the portfolio. So he's opening like car washes and stuff.
What is this on?
Peacock.
Peacock, okay.
So he is sleeping with / kind of dating his business partner who's running the car washes and stuff. Mm. Meanwhile, has a side girlfriend, right? This is like in the first, maybe second episode.
Jesus.
Side girlfriend gets into a car accident. He's like, oh, you know what? I don't have any cars to loan you, but my business partner, who I also sleep with, mm-hmm. her car is in the shop. So why don't you just use her car? It needed some work, but until we can get the work done, you can just go ahead and drive it.
Yeah.
Crashes the car while she's driving it. Then the main girlfriend calls the car shop to be like, hey, I just want an update on my car. And they're like, what do you mean it's totaled? She goes, what do you mean it's totaled? And they're like, I don't know. Farmer Ted over here called and said to let some girl take it out.
Not Farmer Ted.
The drama is so good. Of course, the least attractive brother literally is just a little slut and out here he's just cheating on his girlfriend all the time. And they're filming it. You're watching it.
Drake.
Yes. You're watching it in real time. It's delicious.
Wow. You seem like you're very vested in
this. If you just want some like low down reality television, trash television. Please watch a couple episodes. So good.
That's awesome.
I watched that. I started Baby Reindeer. Have you seen that?
I have heard.
Oh.
Almost choked. Jesus. I have heard about Baby Reindeer. I have not seen it just yet.
It is unhinged.
That's what I heard. But is it horror?
No, it's psychological.
Oh, I like those.
So yeah, you'd probably like it. It is wacky. Also, men are trash. That's all I have to say. But.
Anything else you've been watching?
I started that show Fallout. Super gory.
Well, it's by the fourth, fifth episode, it gets really good.
Oh,
it's kind of slow in the beginning, but
there's also so many storylines and it's like bopping back and forth.
They're going back and forth between like, you know, 2224 and then like 2024 and shit like that. It's just, I hate when they go back and forth like that, but it's actually really good.
Yeah.
The way it ends, you can tell it's going to be a second season.
There's something about nuclear fallout.
Yeah.
And it just, right now in this time isn't sitting well with me.
Because we're close to
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
True.
But yeah, that's what I've been watching. What about you?
Didn't you say you went to go see Civil War?
No, I've talked about
Civil War. Oh, I need to go see Civil War.
You need to go see it. Yeah. I want to see that and I want to see Challengers.
Oh, yeah,
the
Zendaya
one.
Yeah.
You're not going to see it.
I mean, I love tennis, but I'm
not. That's not even about tennis. It's about them.
I have personally been watching, I went back to start watching Grey's Anatomy. And
why are you doing that?
I'm a huge Grey's Anatomy fan. I've been watching it from the very beginning when it first aired. And I was working at the jail at the time when it first aired. And so I had all like the police officers and everything, or the COs basically watching it. It was fun. Anyway, but since they're on season 20, I wanted to go back because I was like, damn.
Who's even still on that show?
The only two main characters from the beginning are just Dr. Bailey and Richard Weber. Those are the only two originals.
And those are the only ones who deserve to still be on there. That's right.
The two black people.
Let freedom ring, something bitch. About black people, they're going to stick around.
Well, the thing is, Chandra Wilson, who plays Dr. Bailey, she said in an interview, she was like, listen, I started on the very first episode. My goal is to finish this show and still be standing in the last episode.
She's like the people at the hospital who've worked there forever. And they're I'm vested, bitch. I'm not going anywhere.
My 401k is set.
They're like, I'm maxed.
Right. So I've been going back and watch. I haven't started from the beginning because I don't need to. But I went back I started at season 7. And it's been amazing to go back and relive these storylines because you're just like, wait, we're at season 20. What happened in between? Because you forget when you go back to like, you know,
there's single something digit. Every episode.
Exactly. And there's so many people that they have in these episodes. The new interns, I do not like them. They're annoying because they weren't, again, like magic. You know what I mean? Like the original interns, but not even like Lexi and all of them.
The last set that I remember are that guy with the glasses who's gay.
Schmidt.
That's like the last, was that 13? Season 13, maybe?
That was like 15, 16, yeah.
And then the Italian guy with the sister.
You know, Anyway, but which I thought was so dumb. I was like, why would y'all kill him off? But anyway, going back to this through Grey's Anatomy is nostalgia because that was when I was in PT school, but also too when I, you know, first graduated, but the amount of sex that they have in this show is really unhinged. And I'm just like, I really want people to understand that here's the thing. Sex happens in hospitals, right? It just does. But the amount of sex that these people are having, and nobody's taking a bath after they have this sex, and no, they go and see patients and then go revive people, it's just unrealistic. It is the most unrealistic thing. I'm like, do y'all realize how filthy and dirty hospitals are?
Also, have you seen an intern in a hospital? They look like they're so tired.
And my thing is, people are having sex, but not at the hospital. They're going to their houses. You know, they're flirting with each other. Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, the amount of sexual chemistry and these horniness of all of these people. And I'm just, and to go back and remember, like, Bailey had a moment where she was like in on-call rooms, and I was like, Bailey? And it's like, I experienced that. A black
woman? Never. Right. I'm like, hospitals are dirty.
I'm like, how dare y'all deduce Bailey down to Booty Call Bailey? Because that was her nickname, but with her husband, of course. But it was just funny to go back and just rewatch it. So if you need to rewatch Grey's Anatomy, just do yourself a great service and go back and watch Grey's Anatomy. It's
20
amazing.
Season. How long did ER run?
ER, I think, only ran for like 15, if I'm not mistaken, because I watched that too faithfully.
94 to 2009, 15 seasons, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was a faithful watcher of ER. Me and my mom used to watch that all the time. Mm. And when they killed off Dr. Green and gave him brain cancer, bullshit. I hate it. And then Eric LaSalle left. Oh, I was so mad. He was like their Burke.
I don't think I've ever watched
ER?
ER.
What?
Like, I've seen episodes, but I never sat down.
Mekhi Phifer ended up being on there. And he was a doctor. I mean, it was a cool show. It was a really good
looking
show.
Group of people.
It was a really, really good show.
Where is George Clooney from?
He was on ER.
No. Where is he from geographically?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Seattle. I don't know.
No idea. Oh, May 6th. His birthday's coming up. Lexington, Kentucky.
Lexington, Kentucky?
What the fuck?
Lexington, Kentucky. There we go.
Lexington, Kentucky.
There you go.
Why is that so hard?
I don't know.
Because no one's really from there.
Nobody's from Kentucky?
No.
Well, I mean, there's nothing there but Kentucky Fried Chicken. Anyway, but yeah, that's all I've been watching. Oh, I told y'all about the Unlock show. I still haven't finished it. I need to finish it, but we'll see. That'll never happen in real life, but great concept, I guess.
Unlocked?
Yeah. It's about where this warden in North Carolina, he literally unlocks all the doors, and he takes away a lot of the staff, a lot of the guards and whatnot, because he's trying to really rehabilitate people, and he's giving these men an opportunity to really have their own sense of freedom within the jail system. And he's like, listen, y'all can be free around here as long as you like, or as quickly as 5 minutes if you fuck it up. So, you know, I'm trying to give y'all opportunity to really show that you can be responsible, and that we don't have to monitor you. So we're taking the guards away. We're allowing you to be out of your cells. The doors are literally unlocked, except for the front door, obviously. But yeah, so it's telling the men and how they move, because there's people that are,
you know. Is this real life?
Yeah, it's real. Mm-hmm. He did an experiment in North Carolina.
What is this on?
It's on Netflix.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's called Unlocked.
I've started the first couple episodes. Well, if you treat people like animals, guess what they're going to act like?
Exactly. And too,
if you treat people like people,
there are people who have mental disorders. And so you cannot just cage someone who has a mental disorder and not medicate them if they have a true, you know, imbalance, chemical imbalance. Like, they need to be treated with medication and therapy. You can't just put that in the cage and say, stop it. That's not the that's not the way that works.
Cut
it out. Don't you do it again. But yeah. Anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here?
No, that's it, dog.
All right, y'all. Well, thank y'all so much for y'all patience these last couple of months. We pray that our viewership and whatnot will increase again, and that you all will continue to join us. Fowler is no longer on location.
We will not
be on Zoom or whatever, and we will be in the studio, because we are in the stew today. And she needed some time to be able to pack all her shit and come on back, because the CIA kicked her out anyway. But so we are grateful that y'all continue to support us and ride with us and rock with us. We hope y'all have an amazing week on purpose. Y'all remember to spread love,
spread light,
and don't forget to laugh your face off. Hit the right button. There we go. We in the stew. We in the stew.
What?
We in the stew.
Home.
We in the stew.
Quavo.
We in the stew. Mama.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at The Face Off Pod. Be sure to tune in to The Face Off every Tuesday when new episodes are released.